Finesse Show.
You want me to turn it up?
Send your text to 49451 on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All right, here we go, live for the first time in 2 years. The show coming to you from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Seahawks training camp, it's underway. Welcome in. Kevin Shockey off, and we are hoping soon to have news on a young Shockey entering the world as well. So that's all coming up today. My man Curtis Crabtree is there. Curtis, we're missing you out here today at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. I can tell you this, it's hot.
Yeah, it is.
It's warm.
I've missed watching practice. I've not necessarily missed the radiating heat of that patio.
Yeah, that's the part that's tough, and I feel bad because all the photographers that can't go in the media room like us are out here just in the off that the heat coming in. But you know what? They're out here. They're outside, and I know thousands of fans would love to be here as well. Fans back today for training camp day number two. Let's get to headlines, shall we?
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
1 o'clock headlines brought to you by Venue Kings, venuekings.com. Big news as NBA draft is tonight, and it believes like Caleb Cunningham's going to go number one overall when it's all said and done. Mariners are off today. They'll be in Texas tomorrow to start a series. More on them coming up in our first segment today. There's plenty of moves being made around baseball, none involving our local team. Even some rumors out of Chicago. Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, both not in the lineup today for the Cubs. Interesting what could go on there. Suni Lee is your gold medalist in the all-around in gymnastics at the Olympics. Pretty remarkable situation for her, taking over for somebody named Simone Biles. Boy, U.S. just loaded when it's all said and done there. So, all right, that's it. That's good for headlines. How are you doing today, Curtis? What's going on, buddy? What's happening?
I'm hanging in there, you know. I wish I could be out there at practice, but I guess we're going to have to deal with how we got to jump through some hoops here so Shockey can not be here, which is a good thing for him.
Yeah, we'll hopefully, I'm hoping today or tomorrow we get some news. It's been a long wait for Kevin, his wife Amy, and we'll hopefully, we're excited for him and excited for them. It's going to be cool as he welcomes his first child into this world. So in the meantime, the next couple of weeks, Curtis and Jackson will be filling in. I'll just say this publicly: thank you guys, because it's a really busy time of the year for us. We got a lot going on, man. It's kind of a wild ride. We were just talking about this yesterday, you know, in the media room out here at the VMAC, and this morning as well. I was talking to Adam Jude from the Times and Larry Stone's out here today, and we're kind of joking around. It is massively busy. Like, usually we get to July and you're just praying, give me Seahawk training camp so we can have something to talk about. And I'm just kind of looking at different things going on out there, and I've got more than enough things to talk about. Let me run down the show real quick, though, because we've got a lot going on. 1:30 today, Alex Wenberg, new member of the Seattle Kraken, will join us as they signed him yesterday along with Jaden Schwartz and Philip Grubauer. So we'll talk to Alex Wenberg. I believe he is overseas, but we'll check in with him coming up today at 1:30, get to know him a little bit. Newest member of the Seattle Kraken, as they've been very active in the free agent market of the NHL. And a year from now, we will be kind of, I would say, a little bit more invested, Curtis would be the word, as opposed to immersed. I think we'll be a little more invested next year because there will be guys coming and going, not just guys coming, although we did see a guy leave yesterday, and Vitek Vanacek, the goalie, went back to the Washington Capitals. But next year we'll be a little more invested, but Alex Wenberg will join us coming up at 1:30 today. And next year, by the way, we would assume the league calendar goes back to the normal time in NHL free agency, about the same time as NBA free agency, that first day of July. So that's coming up 1:30. 2 o'clock, Rashad Penny is going to be with us. And I find his story, I think, kind of one of those, how do I want to say, underlying keys to the season. I know Puck talks about it a lot, Curtis, the lack of depth at running back. I'm not sure if I'd agree with that, but I would agree that there's some question marks at running back in terms of depth. If it all comes together and your 1-2 punch is Chris Carson and a healthy Rashad Penny, and so far he looks healthy. Pete Carroll went out of his way yesterday in his news conference to mention Rashad Penny. If they are healthy, if Penny is healthy, then that's a really good 1-2 punch. And we saw a glimpse of it late in the 2019 season, and then Penny blew his knee and tore his ACL, and it ended up being really effectively a 12-plus-month injury for him. But he's back. He's looking good. We'll hear from him coming up at 2 o'clock, and what he went through, and how difficult and challenging it was for him to go through that rehab process. Curtis, I know you've talked to guys out here that have done it and gone through the process of rehabilitating a severe injury or a season-ending injury. And I think a lot of us probably always think, oh, hey, you know what? They're around the team. They're just not playing, but they're, you know, they're involved with everything and they're doing everything. And it's just, you know, you're just not playing on Sundays. But I think most guys we've talked to over the years, you come to find out that there's a big difference. It's you're not as involved. You're coming in at different times. You're working out in a different place. There's a little bit of isolation, and it's just the nature of the beast. And oftentimes it leads to some pretty dark times for people. You hear about it all the time with guys having a hard time struggling to you know, you get over a hump or you hit a wall in that rehab process. And we'll talk to Rashad about that coming up at 2 o'clock today. But Curtis, you watched yesterday and you got a chance to watch, and then Pete Carroll kind of went out of his way. What'd you think, your first glimpse of what should be a healthy Rashad Penny?
Yeah, he looked kind of like the guy I remember seeing from before his injury. And I'm guessing you're hinting at this with Rashad as well, but he's a guy who, when I've talked to him in the past, he's a pretty vulnerable dude. Like he will talk about himself, yes, and give you some insight, yes, on how he's thinking and going through stuff. I've thought some of the, you know, more interesting interviews I've done through the years have been with him because he's willing to go there.
Right.
And the question will be like that. Ironically, both the games have been against Philadelphia, but is the game that Rashad had against the Eagles 2 years ago the same kind of an anomaly like the CJ Procise game was against Philly 3-4 years ago?
Right.
Or is he able to come back a year more removed from that knee injury and build upon it a little bit? He looks like he's pretty a lot closer to his normal self than he was at any point last year. And just as a random tangent, because it was on my mind, you mentioned the depth and stuff too. I don't know that I'd discount Alex Collins.
Well,
which is something I'm kind of surprised about.
Okay, and I'll give you – let me react to that in two levels before we get to a couple other things. One would be – and just in the interest of honesty and openness here on this radio show and this radio program, Sports Radio 950 KJR, we did tape the interview I did about an hour ago because we do have to – they're practicing. I think people can put the two and two together. They start practice here at 1:30.
Is that what that noise is behind you?
Yes. Can you hear Super Sam out there and the other guys out there talking? I don't actually – that's not Super Sam. That's like their MC. But anyway.
I thought they were doing a raffle.
Yeah, no. They are – no, fans are making their way in here. We're going to practice. Practice starts at 1:30. So we pre-tape our interviews for radio. I do for this show beforehand, and actually we're going to do a little piece with him on TV as well, so kind of double up. And yeah, I will. Two things. One, there is I think vulnerability is a good word. He's really open and honest, and he's always been that way. But two, Alex Collins does come up in our conversation, which I thought is interesting, and I've kind of thought the same thing. Alex Collins was on his way to having himself a nice career when he left here. Hit a little bit of a roadblock by his own doings, right? I mean, he had a league-imposed suspension, but showed a flash last year before Carson came back. And I'm with you. I would not discount Alex Collins at all. I maybe you go 1-2-3 punch, and then you have a pretty good battle. Who's going to be number four? They normally keep four guys at that position. Is it going to be Dallas or Homer starting on the PUP list? Okay, so the other part of it you mentioned is it just a flash in the pan like CJ Procise? The one thing is the Eagles game, he had 129 on the ground. But then the next game, the Vikings game, he had 15 carries for 74 yards. And then he also had four catches for 33 yards and a touchdown in that game against the Vikings. So he put back-to-back games of 100-plus yards from scrimmage together and was showing what you just said. The flashes did, Penny. And then the Rams game, he caught the one pass, went 16 yards, went down on the sideline. And as soon as he went down, you saw the concern on the sideline. It was in front of the Seahawk bench, and it was an ACL, and he was done. And then last year, he came back at 11 carries and was really just not himself at all. I mean, he wasn't a healthy running back, and so it didn't work out last year. So, yeah, we'll talk to Rashad coming up at 2 o'clock today. Look forward to that conversation. I think you guys will enjoy hearing from him and where he's thinking and where he's at right now. And again, I went and asked for him today just because, and I probably wasn't even going to do this, but when Pete Carroll brings up a guy kind of, you know, off the cuff like he did yesterday, I think it's worth talking to. Okay, So that's coming up. Text all the way, 49451. Coors Light text line, 49451. Keeping Seattle chill. So you can fire off any text, questions, thoughts, concerns. If you have questions about camp and what Curtis and I saw yesterday and what we'll be watching today, if you have any questions, feel free, Seahawk fans, 49451, to ask Curtis and ask Ian about that training camp.
There's some fairly big baseball news coming down right now.
Why don't you fire off what that is? Because I'm a little bit, I don't say out of touch, but I'm a little bit unplugged out here. So what do you got?
Via Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, the San Diego Padres are close to acquiring Max Scherzer from the Washington Nationals.
Wow. Monster trade. Monster. Do any idea what goes back in return?
That's all there is at this point. It came down 30 seconds ago.
Okay. Wow, that's that is a huge deal if that happens. As the Padres try to load up in that, in what is frankly a loaded National League West, by the way.
The Padres are going for it.
Yeah. Yes. In a division in which you have a team that's been hovering around, if not has been around the best record in baseball, the Giants, all year. So that's an interesting move by the Padres. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. We'll get to baseball here in just a couple seconds. I'm going to spend some time at some point. I saw Mike Varell had some news based on what was going on down in Pasadena. The Rose Bowl with UCLA football games are going to sell beer and wine in the general seating areas. Mike Varell from the Times followed that up with his understanding is the Huskies are going to do the same. I'm going to bring this up later because I don't like this. I don't like being upset with my alma mater, but it's yet another time in which I kind of am, and I'll explain why coming up maybe 1:45 today. But we can get to some baseball. I know you guys spent some time on it today. Curtis has a soundbite we're going to play in just a couple seconds from Carlos Dunlap. But as we hear about that deal with the Padres pending for Max Scherzer, we are now 23 hours and 48 minutes away from Major League Baseball's trade deadline. And remember, there's only one now. We got rid of the old non-waiver wire, whatever the thing is, August 31st trade deadline. So this is it tomorrow. You have a trade deadline coming up in less than 24 hours. And we all know what happened earlier this week. And the Mariners trading Kendall Graveman and Montero. Let's be honest, they traded Kendall Graveman. They get a player in return that's hit a couple home runs in as many games and maybe has a little bit of promise and some hope for the future and maybe can give them something at a position of need. So that's fine. But reading the room and understanding the climate you're in, I think is where the criticism has come both inside the organization and outside for Jerry Dipoto. And you know, outside the organization, fans have been upset, media has questioned it, and then there's others that have been bought into it 100% and said, hey, it makes all the sense in the world. And that's the beautiful thing about sports in a trade or a signing or any transaction is it really is a subjective thing. You can love something, you can hate something, and oftentimes, really, right or wrong isn't proven until later on. I heard Puck say this the other day, and it's true. You know, we all in our business are somewhat required to have, you know, instant opinions, instant analysis, almost in some ways a knee-jerk reaction to things, and we all get that. That's part of the gig. That's part of the business, right? You're supposed to react to something immediately, and oftentimes you can look like a fool for doing so. You kind of temper those things, those thoughts as well. But you know, the initial thought on Graveman was what? You know, like big question mark, and that was the initial reaction from the clubhouse. Curtis, were you there? You were there Monday, weren't you?
I was there Monday, yes. I was not there pregame, so I wasn't there for any of the certain players breaking a bunch of crap behind the dugout and stuff. I wasn't there to witness that, but I can envision who it was.
But that's part of reading the room as well and understanding your organization. Every sport's different. I mean, every sport's different. And we in this town, me specifically, I will freely admit that I am all too often guilty of, you know, like comparing the football and the baseball teams. And the only time I really try to compare that is how they're run, you know, not on the business side. I mean, the business side for the Mariners, they just hired a new business VP or president yesterday.
Which, of course, the trade completely overshadowed and neutered as well.
Yes, exactly. But they, you know, on the business side of things, I know people complain about concession prices or this or that. I mean, from a marketing standpoint and how they run things, it's a really, I think for the most part, those guys do a really nice job. But when we look at the baseball side of things, much like you look over here with the football side of things for the Seahawks, it feels as if they are just the polar opposites. John Schneider, made a move, and Curtis brought this up, and I know there's a soundbite from it. Carlos Dunlap was on the podium yesterday. And remember when Carlos Dunlap was brought here last year? They went from a team that had zero pass rush to a team that had a pass rush. Before that, your only pass rusher was your safety, who did set a record when it was all said and done for sacks by a defensive back. But that was your only effective pass rusher. Benson Mayoa was playing almost 90% of the snaps in a game. He's supposed to be a pass rushing defensive end. He wasn't effective. He was worn down. He was beat up. He was tired. It didn't work. So they brought Dunlap in. He came in. We all know what happened after that. The defense improved. Maybe it's because of who they're playing, but I think just your eye test tells you that Dunlap improved things. He was a big part of their success in getting to the postseason last year. Fast forward to the offseason, free agency, or not so much free agency, but contract-wise, the NFL with that hard salary cap, you've got to play the game all the time. Remember, they released him, and they brought him back. Well, take a listen to Dunlap talking about how it was handled by John Schneider and the Seahawks. This is from Dunlap yesterday talking about that whole process, and we'll kind of bring it all back to what DePoto didn't do on Monday.
Mad that they cut you initially to sort of make that happen?
I was not mad, but obviously going through all those texts from everybody that cut you, that was an experience that I did not want because, you know, it gave those that negative impact as if I did not do what I was supposed to do. Although, you know, the film tells a story. You know, business is business. They communicated the business part from the jump. You got to respect that. And that's one of the things that I love here is very clear communication, what we're doing, what they expect of you. And then, you know, they try to get to know you as a person and how they can help you make you better as a man, because they know making you as a better man to make you a better player as well. So it's like a an all-encompassing approach. Like, it's just I'm still trying to figure it all out, and I hope Pete Carroll comes out with a book, because I would love to run my business the way he runs.
And I think that is really important, I'm glad that you brought that up and that sound, Curtis, because I was running around doing some other stuff yesterday. But I think that's a really important piece of audio to hear. Because Dunlap didn't like being cut. I mean, the guy's a borderline Pro Bowler, man. He's got a lot of pride. Been in this league for a long time. He didn't want to be cut. But the fact that they communicated to him how it works, the fact that there's a salary cap and we need to do this so we can get to here and do that, but you're a big part of it, we want to bring you back. It just all of that communication was huge. And I know there's some that say DePoto doesn't owe anybody anything. Like, he doesn't owe anybody an explanation. He doesn't owe the clubhouse an explanation. It's business. It is business. Pro sports are a big business. They're a $1 billion business. For players playing in it, they're a $1 million business, a multi-million-dollar business. But the bigger picture sometimes does matter. And how you handle things does matter. When you, especially in an organization like the Mariners that haven't, unless they've thrown, you know, way too much money at somebody, they don't attract top free agents in a league that doesn't have a salary cap, by the way. And they do have the money to spend, but they don't attract top free agents. Here in Seattle, to a man, Curtis, I think you'll attest to this. Doesn't matter who we talk to. Guys rave about coming here. Like, players want to come here. They want to come to Pete Carroll's culture. They want to come to this facility. They want to come to the Seahawks organization. And it's not just Pete, but if you have a John Schneider and a Matt Thomas and those guys communicating to somebody, hey, we don't want to do this, but we have to do this, but you're still this or that. DePoto didn't do that. And I think that was the difference what happened on Monday. The trade may end up being a good one in the end for Graveman. He wasn't going to probably come back next year, although, I don't know, there's part of me that says, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't you go back and sign him? I mean, there's this like foregone conclusion. Oh, well, you wouldn't. Why not?
Well, speaking of that, if you're Graveman, why would you sign back here now?
You
because
won't
there's
now.
There's no communication and no relationship.
No, you won't now. But the whole thought of, well, he's going to be gone after this year anyway. Well, aren't they going to spend money next year? Like, so why did they feel like they had to get rid of him?
I mean,
I think there's other things in play here, but let's just say, for example, why wouldn't you talk about extending Haniger? Why wouldn't you extend Graveman?
Yeah.
Like, that made no sense to me. None of this makes sense to me.
And then the flip side quote of it, he hasn't come down here. He sits up in his suite playing fantasy baseball and rips apart our team without telling us anything.
The business of sports is you're going to lose friends. Guys are going to leave. Guys are going to get cut. But when you're coming off of what they came off on Monday, arguably the best regular season win in two decades for this franchise, It was remarkable, the vibe around the town. And all the life got sucked out by 5 o'clock the next day. That's not how you create a winning culture, winning organization. That's not how you attract players to come here in the future as well. And it was unfortunate. And it is the polar opposite of what we see out here at the VMAC. It just is. And DePoto has a big task ahead of him. Something needs to happen. This is an it's not a fluke that they gave up, 16 runs in the next two games. Guys are human beings. They were affected by it. They felt like the organization in some ways gave up on them. They brought in a young guy who was talented as can be. There isn't a player not named Jared Kelnick or Cal Raleigh on that roster, maybe Logan Gilbert, that isn't thinking about the priority being winning right now today. That's how they operate. They operate on a day-to-day basis. That's how the athletes are, and I don't blame them for that, and I don't blame them for being upset. 23 hours from now, we'll see what happens. Can the M's make a move? All right, we'll take a break, come back. Alex Wenberg, boy, teammate making a lot of moves. The Seattle Kraken making a ton of moves. He'll call in with us next, one of the newest members of the Kraken. By the way, you can chime in 49451, Coors Light text line 49451, keeping Seattle chill. Alex Wenberg from the Kraken next.
Podcast all in one app.
All right, hey, we're back. Virginia Mason Athletic Center, the VMAC, as we are coming at you live. Day two of Seahawks training camp. Ian Furness with you. And, you know, Curtis, I was thinking we're just a couple months away from doing a similar type of show, probably in a little more air-conditioned, cooler area when the Kraken practice facility opens up. And we're doing shows out there during Seattle Kraken training camp and NHL training camp. We're going to go from one camp to another, and that'll be a glorious thing here for us here in Seattle. And speaking of which, joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline, one of the newest members of the Seattle Kraken. And I say that because they're all new, but this is really, truly one of the newest members. Just signed yesterday from, I think, calling from Sweden right now. Alex Wenberg is joining us right now. Alex, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Now, where are you calling from and what time is it?
I'm calling from Stockholm, Sweden, and right now it's 10:30 p.m., so you're pulling in a late-night shift right here on the radio. It's great, though.
Well, let me just say, first of all, thank you. You're a great PR guy. You'll get to know Ben Guerrero's a really good guy and does a great job for us in the media here in Seattle, and I was texting him today, and I said, listen, we're the one radio show that does hockey. We need to get a guy on. We one of those new guys. And he says, I can get Alex on, but it's really late. And so I didn't realize it was 10:30. So, man, I really appreciate you coming on. Let me get your reaction to being a Seattle Kraken and coming here to Seattle for this expansion franchise.
Yeah, it's an amazing feeling. Obviously, it's a hectic couple of hours there with the free agency. You know, you see players go left to right. And for me to have the opportunity to end up in Seattle, it's such an exciting time, and I mean, like, it's a brand new franchise. No one's ever seen it play before. No one has. It's so cool to be a part of a franchise. You start fresh. So yeah, it's been a hasty couple of hours and days, but it's an amazing feeling to be a part of it.
What goes into that decision, as you said, in NHL, and I mentioned this to our listeners, we will be a lot more invested in it next year after a year of NHL hockey here, a year with a full roster and getting ready for free agency, guys restricted, unrestricted, all those things happen, and then usually it's July 1st. July 1st hits, and it is a frenzy. It's like a feeding frenzy. It's crazy. What goes into it for you as a player? What were you looking for, and how many teams were you truly considering going to?
I mean, how it works is I was part of the Florida Panthers, and when the free agency opens up, other teams have the chance to talk to you. And I mean, for me, when Seattle reached out, I feel like the opportunity was there for me to find a really good role and be a part of that franchise. And they sound like they were really excited for me as well. So it felt like a perfect match. And I mean, it's just like I said, it's a quick decision because you want to answer quick because you don't want them to move on to someone else. So yeah, I mean, right now I'm just so happy that it happened, and I mean, right now you're just excited to get to Seattle and get the season started as well. So.
And let me clarify: is it, do we go with Alex or Alexander? What do you like going by?
Oh, Alex is totally fine. That's perfect.
All right, Alex Wenberg joining us here, new Seattle Kraken. I see center, I see left wing. I know you're a left shot. Where do you feel most comfortable playing?
I usually play center most of the time. I mean, I'm pretty flexible in that way. But if you would put me in a spot where I played in the last couple of years, I would say center. It's my go-to for sure.
All right, so we're center iceman. When you're going through this process, I'm sure you're looking at a current roster, and you know, you see maybe there's some some openings at that center ice position. Yanni Gord now is going to be out for a little while. When you talk to Ron Francis or Dave Haxtell, I assume you've talked to the GM and the coach, what do they tell you? I mean, you're not coming here to be a bottom six guy. You're coming here thinking you're going to play in the top six, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a little different because most of the guys that end up in Seattle got picked in expansion draft, and for me to have the possibility to be the guy who get to make the choice myself. But I mean, like I said, the communication from GM to coach, I mean, like, they seem like great guys and heard just great things about him. And I mean, they have a big hope for me as well. And I'm going to live up to that as well. So, yeah, the opportunity is there for me to be a top six guy. And that's where I'm aiming at to be as well. So.
And which ice time is big for guys. Did you talk much to your former, now again, current teammate? He was a former teammate for all of, 7 days in Chris Driedger. Did you talk to Chris at all about coming out here and what his impressions were talking to the organization and what he saw so far in his first week? He got the royal treatment, by the way. Went to a baseball game, threw out a first pitch and got kind of the VIP treatment. Did you talk to Chris at all about his experience?
Yeah, I mean, I saw those guys getting spoiled there and get really good treatment, and that's just awesome. You're a little jealous now in Sweden, you can see that, but I mean, hopefully when I show up, I feel like the atmosphere is still going to be the same. I heard, like, the fans are amazing right there, and like you said, it's brand new, but they're already breathing hockey atmosphere right there, so it's awesome. But you know what, in the last few days, I mean, it's been so quick, so I shot him in Texas today. I'll see you soon, buddy, but I'll catch up with him a little bit later and just get the whole feel for how Seattle was for him and the day he would spend there, what it was.
Seattle got Philip Grubauer yesterday as well in the in free agency. I we thought Driedger might be the unquestioned number one. Now it looks like he got kind of two number one caliber guys. Last year was different. It was goofy, but when you're with Columbus, you must have played against Grubauer. What are your thoughts on him and Driedger as a 1-2 punch and goal?
Yeah, I mean, like, both of them unbelievable goalies, and I feel like, I mean, there's obviously, it's great to have that competitive battle between the goalies. I mean, I know they're all good friends and all when you play, but at the end of the day, like, you try to push yourself to be better. So to have that battle they're going to have, it's going to be amazing to see. And like I say, Grubauer, I played against him several times, and like I say, he's a really, really good goalie. So I feel like right there, to look at the team and see you got two really solid guys back there, it just... It's something really excited to see, and when you're playing in front of them, it's good to know that they always got your back as well to save some extra pucks. So,
I heard a lot of Alex Wenberg joining us from the Kraken, and during the free agency, I heard some interesting comments from guys. I mean, even Oliver Ekman-Larsson kind of talked about, playing in a non-traditional hockey market. The OEL goes now to Vancouver, which is as diehard a hockey market as it is. You were in Columbus, then in Florida. Now you're coming to Seattle. But Seattle feels different. I don't know what it was like in Florida. Columbus, I know guys seem to be leaving left, right, and sideways. Coming to a market that you has, I think, a passion, and you mentioned it. You could see that as you met the guys got spoiled, and the people are going nuts. They're on the lake, and they're packed in there for an expansion draft. How important was it for you to go to a place where the hockey team is going to, frankly, Alex, it's going to be a really big deal? How important was that for you?
I mean, I don't know if it's important. It's just unbelievable to see, and it's a lot of excitement. Obviously, there's a lot of good things about Seattle. I mean, the fans is one really good thing, but for me, it's to hear about the city and how I feel me, my fiance, and our future kid is going to settle in right there. I feel like that was a big big decision as well. But, I mean, like you said, I've been to places where they like hockey, they're engaged, but now it's going to be something else, and I'm super stoked to see, like you said, how it's going to be like. So, yeah, it's... I don't know if that is one of the decisions why, but I will say that's a bonus for sure, and it's something that you really like, you want to experience for sure.
So you got a fiance, child on the way, it sounds like, as well. When do you get to Seattle? When do you arrive here? And what are you most looking forward to when you get to the city?
I mean, right now there's a lot of visa things. So right now I'm just going to jump on it and try to get it done as soon as possible. But, I mean, we're planning on getting there pretty much as soon as possible. I'll probably leave in a few weeks, so... And after that, I actually never been, so I feel like it's going to be a lot to take in and see. But, I mean, it's just good things. You know? It's something that you look forward to, and I'm just excited to explore the whole thing with the stadium hall. Because everyone I talk to has had the greatest thing to say about it, and I'm just it's going to be excited to actually see it with my own eyes as well.
Water, mountains, Really, actually, perfect weather. Don't let people, complain about the rain. It doesn't rain that much. Heck, you're from. I have a feeling a little bit, similar in some ways to what you find overseas, a little bit in Europe. It's going to be glorious for you. You're going to love it here, and the fan base is phenomenal. A waiting list for season tickets. Those guys did get a little bit spoiled last week, but Alex, trust me, you guys have some success this year. You're going to get spoiled too, and I know everyone's going to welcome you and your family here. So congratulations on signing with the Kraken. Awesome for everybody, and we'll see you when you get here in a little while. All right.
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And thanks for calling in so late at night as well. We really appreciate that. Alex Wennberg joining us here from the Seattle Kraken. Really cool. Just 26 years old. He'll turn 27 here before the start of the season, but probably has his best hockey ahead of him as well. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get something good in, kind of recap what's going on out here at the VMAC today. Don't forget, top of the hour, Rashad Penny right here on 950 KJR.
Tails.
Back at the VMAC as day two of training camp underway. Ian Furness with you. Dave Sautamaro. Richard L. Fain will take over later today at 3 o'clock. Softy, the meteorologist, has pointed out it's 90 degrees. I thought it was hotter. Yeah, it's warm. It is warm, warm, warm out here. I got something good in just a couple seconds. Curtis, I was going to tell you this. Okay, so Curtis and I were talking in a break about going through, getting ready for training camp. And normally, in a normal year of football, you have the mini camps and the OTAs, and there's more of them. They're more open. They don't, go inside when it is a drizzle. Believe it or not, it did drizzle here at one point. And I'll take that. I know whose it is. Thank you. Someone lost their lens cover. Anyway, as that happens, you kind of become really familiar with the roster. Well, there haven't been as many of those opportunities. There haven't been as many of those things going on. And because of that, like all of a sudden you have training camp. And I'm with you, Curtis. I'm kind of like a few days ago, I realized we're doing a three-hour TV show yesterday in which I had to go through every single position group and talk about every single one and build a graphic for it. So, Curtis, only you would appreciate what I did.
Yes.
You know what I did, don't you?
53? Did you do it?
Roster roulette is already underway, my friend.
Well, you're ahead of me.
It is already underway. I came, and on top of that, Curtis, and you and I will have some private time and do this together because nobody else will care. I will share with you on Saturday when we're both back out here my 36 locks.
Sounds
and if,
good.
And if Puckett's listening right now, he's just dying. It's absolutely killing him to hear that. But yes, because only my friend Curtis would appreciate that as much as I, because how many times we stood out here, looked at a roster, and then argued about who's a roster lock after one or two days. Curtis, you and I have been doing this for a decade together, and I will say, dare say, with the exception of last year when I was only out here a couple times, every year we've done that, right?
And we absolutely have a 100% record.
I don't think we've ever missed.
No, and there's absolutely no proof that exists anywhere that we've ever gotten anything wrong.
Never has, never will, but we do that all the time. But I found myself, as I'm going through that, well, what the hell? It's 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night. I'm having a little glass of wine to end the night. I might as well just go ahead and sketch out with a little yellow highlighter all these things. But I did come up with 36 guys. I don't know what you think before we get to something good. It feels as if there is good competition at a couple places, you kind of go through there. I mean, your starters and your top guys, you're too deep right now. It feels really set in a lot of areas, like maybe more so than a couple years past.
I think that's probably fair. I don't know that there's a ton of, I think maybe the most interesting spot for depth might be at cornerback.
Yes.
Deep down the roster. I think there's enough defensive linemen across the board, too, to where ultimately getting to a final number there could be interesting.
Because they usually keep around 10.
And we don't really know the full status of Alden Smith. Is he going to be available? Is he not?
He's out here. He's out practicing again. So he's
I just saw an interesting tweet from Bob Condotta, who said that he was slow on the video uptake, but they basically just watched him pick up and completely chuck a blocking sled to the side. Just completely lift it and uprooted it and threw it.
Well, what I tell you in the break, he looks the part.
Yeah, sure.
It's like he didn't come in out of shape. I mean, whether it's him or, Robert Kimdichie, who was a first round pick. I mean, there's some guys that have some talent. I always go back. Guys drafted in the first round, And a guy like Cam Dicci is coming in here as an undrafted or as a free agent that just kind of, you know, ate and lazied his way out of this league. I mean, that's a guy that looks the part and looks every bit the part. And for some, you know, it's always been between the ears for him. It's not physical. So, all right, let's get to something good. I just got a quick one from the Olympics last night because I'm watching this, and we're going to have Amanda Beard on tomorrow, and it's fun to talk. The swimming is always one of my favorite things at Summer Olympics. You know, kind of under the radar a little bit, Katie Ledecky was fantastic last night in the 4x2 freestyle. Her time in the 200 was her best time of the Olympics. She didn't medal in that, and you know, a lot of it was said about those things. But everyone thought Australia was going to win that gold medal and win it going away. They finished third. They won the bronze. The U.S. finished second to China. But I thought what was really cool, and this is why the Olympics are fun, is you know, some of those people that fly under the radar, that work so hard, maybe don't get the same recognition. Everyone knows the name Katie Ledecky. Everyone knows that. But one name that maybe people don't know as much, at least mainstream swimming fans do, is Allison Schmidt. And she picked up her 10th Olympic medal last night. 10th Olympic medal. She's 31 years old. She is now 9th all-time in Olympic medals by female athletes, 4th all-time as far as Olympic female swimmers are concerned, only trailing Jenny Thompson, Dara Torres, and Natalie Coughlin. Just a remarkable career she has had. She gets more than likely her final medal, and it's number 10. I thought that was really cool and something fun last night watching the Olympics. What do you got? You got something for me real quick, I know, too.
Oh, I'll pull up the tweet if I can here, but I'll tell the story first while I'm trying to find it. So you're familiar with Marion Golf Club, right?
Yes.
The famous iconic shot of Ben Hogan hitting the shot on the 18th fairway. That's from the 18th at Marion. So the Pennsylvania Amateur was this week, and I'm not going to have the names handy here. But a guy holed out from the rough on 18 for eagle to win the Pennsylvania Amateur by a shot.
That's unreal. That's unreal. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, I don't think I've ever holed out. I've never had a hole in one. I don't think I've ever holed out either from the fairway or the rough. Maybe, I mean, I'm talking like more than 100 yards, right? Like a legit hole out. I mean, that is remarkable. Yeah, that's something good, but it'd be better if it happened to me. Anyway, I love it. Nice job, Curtis. We'll come back. Rashad Penny, his story.